Parents that we were planning to and continue the limud, but everybody should be matzliach, and hope again we'll start having the meetings, and looks like there are more people to say on campus, so that should be helpful as well. I understand that Rabbi Steinmetz, is he Jake or is he Yaakov now? Jake still?
Rav Jake.
Has also joined as a Shul Meishiv.
Yeah.
He spoke to me the other day. So I just want to wish him, Hatzlacha. And he's really a long time veteran of the Shir. And, very special Talmud. And so it's just a very nice, addition just to, I'm sure the assistance that he will render. But it's also just very, I think it's a nice thing just for, everybody to get to know him and him to get to know you. These are just relationships, even beyond the substantive assistance that he'll undoubtedly, contribute. But it's just, it's good that you should all know each other. And he's a very special young Talmud Chacham, so happy about that. Just regarding Sunday, we're trying to figure out Sunday, where... We have a Shir wedding, actually. I see Natan in the corner there, so an advanced mazel tov, b'shah tova. So we're making this Shir tentatively, just to stay tuned, because of some logistical issues. But tentatively, I think what we're going to try to do is have the Shir live on Sunday, even though mostly we're going to probably be sticking to the 2 and 2. But the Shir Sunday will be here. I assume this building is always open Sunday now? Yeah, and we'll make it at 10:30, to accommodate the logistics of it. Okay, so this year, Sunday will be at 10:30, it'll end a little bit earlier, obviously, so that we can accommodate all the travel arrangements, etc. Okay, so that's Sunday. Hopefully Monday regular, we'll have Ashkafa, and then the regular Tuesday, Thursday schedule. So let's begin. I'm going to try to get a working list from Abraham. If anybody, has any, important, urgent, certainly, even if it's not urgent, but, more pressing need to consult with me, in the next couple of days, just, either let me know, or Abraham, or Abrami, or Josh, and we'll schedule something on the next day. So being of this mom is always a little bit more, issues or hectic in terms of arrangements. So just let me know, on that. And we'll continue again to do the same, mostly 2 and 2 for now, unless the reality changes. I see there are still quite a few people who are on Zoom, although again the balance is definitely shifting, but we'll continue to do also this hybrid, and we do have better accommodations in terms of the. Oh, okay, great. Can they also hear better when they speak up? That's supposed to be some sort of a microphone, or
I'm saying generally you could hear because they can.
Oh, because the microphone near my microphone. Okay, so let's begin. The last topic, I think we gave a longer shear, as I recall. People can hear me in the back?
Yeah.
If you can't, all the way in the back?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, great. It's still hard for me to hear you, so I think now we have an extra microphone that works on the same system, right? Where did it go?
That's over there.
Okay. So if anybody has any questions, I guess they can, call for it, or just, we'll throw it down. Or something, of that sort. But, we'll do the best we can in terms of integrating the two groups and in terms of hearing better. It's a little bit hard to see everybody, especially with the masks. It's still hard to identify everybody. But help us out just from sometimes just, I guess, identify yourself. Some people it's easy and some people it's not. It's like an interesting, phenomenon, in... I guess the science of identifying people. and their features. But it's a good thing. Kishem Shein, you know, Partsufeim, Domo Zulazu, Kachin Deoseim. And even, you know, the Partsufeim, you know, parts are totally different, you know, in terms of, you know, how you identify people. But okay. So we were in the middle of, we had a longer shiur last year on Inyanei Bittul. I don't want to spend too much time on it because we do need to move forward. And it's an intricate piece in the, I wouldn't say the puzzle, but in the understanding of the interface of all these different things. In other words, Tashbisu, Ba'yura Ba'imatze, you know, Isur Achilas Chametz, the question of, you know, the various phases and Zmanim, you know, in all of that, you know, beginning all the way from, you know, Shoshav Yom to Rosh Chodesh, to Yudalad, to Yudalad at night, to Yudalad in the morning, to Yudalad at Nates, to Yudalad at Chatzos, of course, till the night of Tezvav. So this is really a critical piece of it, and we've discussed much of it already. The last time that we, you know, were together, you know, we went through the Shita of Rashi and Tosas pretty thoroughly, and we started discussing the position of Ramban. Ramban here has a very lengthy essay. As I recall, most people didn't have the opportunity to prepare in advance, and therefore we didn't read it inside. But it is very important. You know, again, we could just gloss over it if we wanted. We could say, this is what he says, and fine. But the truth is that just being exposed to the Ramban's presentation is always a special treat. And along the way, you see just how he, you know, it's a window into his thinking. And that, of course, is you know, an opportunity that none of us would want to squander, to get, you know, a little bit of exposure to the mind of the Ramban. And Agav, you know, there are also some nuances about the way that he says things. So some of them we kind of alluded to already, but you know, the group hadn't prepared it. And either way, there are some additional points to be made. So I want to go through the, I just want to mention, or, you know, backtrack for a second to Rashi and Tosas. And then I want to talk about the Ramban. And we've discussed the Ran earlier in the year when we talked about Bedika, because it's all related. But in light of the Ramban, I just want to make, you know, again, a ha'ara. I'm just, you know, telegraphing what we're going to do here today. A ha'ara about the relationship between the Ramban and the Ran, which again is, I think, typical, but not to be taken for granted, about, you know, what happens, you know, as the halakha, you know, evolves, you know, in its discussion of a topic. I think, you know, you can really identify, you know, how the Ran, you know, read Tosfos, read Rashi, read Tosfos, and the Ramban, you know, and that forged, you know, his own view. And again, I think it's a very typical thing in Chachmei Sfarad. It's a typical thing in schools, you know, and in the progression of topics in general. But it's a fascinating thing. I mean, how it specifically expresses itself is always going to be variable because of the specific evidence, because of the, you know, different mentalities, you know, what appeals to people, their own orientations. And much of that, of course, is unpredictable. But that doesn't mean that there aren't, you know, there isn't the ability to reconstruct it, which are two different things. And even to kind of predict, you know, what is likely to be like the course of development of things in a broader way. Again, I don't want to make too much of it. I'm just using it as an example. And it's an example that, you know, is typical, as I say, of halachic analysis. That's what we mean when we talk about, you know, hemsheikh and chiddush, masora, and, you know, chiddush, etc. This is kind of the way that it happens. It's, you know, one perspective and one insight, you know, which in the course of discussion, you know, is reassessed, maybe refined, or maybe parts of it discarded, but other parts accepted. And, you know, that's how worlds open up. intellectual worlds, but in this case, intellectual and spiritual worlds. So I think this is also just a great topic in that respect, too, just to see kind of the, you know, the range and also somewhat the progression. So I want to do that, talk about the Rambam and the Ran a little bit. And then, again, I don't want to spend more than a couple of days on this because we need to move on to the next topic. But then to go back a little bit to Rabbeinu Tam and his view of Hafker, but, you know, kind of briefly, but to see how that played itself out. Again, the same kind of parallel way. The Ramban, as we'll see, is extremely critical of Rabbeinu Tam's view of Bittul as Hafker. And that, of course, you know, provoked... You can't just, you know, leave Rabbeinu Tam, you know, hanging. He was much too prominent for that. So we need to understand better, you know, what he might have intended in light of the Ramban's, you know, critical comments. And, you know, what does that produce? Well, in a way, that's part of the Ran story. The Ran is an adaptation, you know, that, and that's the secret, basically. It's a, you know, kind of an adaptation and a mediation between the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Tam. But not just like, you know, in a crude way, but in a sophisticated way. We'll see in a moment. But, you know, what do other people say about Rabbeinu Tam? What did Rabbeinu Tam perhaps have in mind? And what does that tell us about both Hefker and Chavetz? So that's why I wanted to look at the Meiri, the Maram Chalava, a little bit the Rabbeinu David, maybe, you know, maybe some of the Achronim, if you get a chance, look at the Mekor Chaim and Tav Lamed Tes as well. That introductory piece that we read at the beginning of the year, you know, you should look at that also. So that, you know, I'm going to speak about that briefly. And then we also, Agav, I'm not sure exactly when we're going to put this in, maybe in the context of Ramban, just to pin down a little better the issue of Bittul B'chametz, or we'll build on that, you know, in a few places. Is there Bittul B'chametz Yadua? Now that, of course, is a question in the Rishonim, particularly the Chachmei Provence discussed that issue. It's also a question in terms of the Girsa of the Rambam. That's the whole discussion of the Kesef Mishnah. You know, but again, that's an important question. Pnei Yehoshua weighs in on that, again, and the Mekor Chaim, everybody, a lot of people discuss that issue. So I want to talk about this. So that's the agenda, just to finish up the topic of Bittul, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. After that, already you should be preparing to move forward to the next Gemara. So first, the first thing to do is to read the Shaka Vitaria on Dalet Amud Beis through Hey Amud Beis, just to get the bigger picture. Again, I don't want to spend so much time on it, but... You know, starting from Znan Hasam Rav Meir Omer Ochen Kol Chamesh Vesorfim Betchilas Sheish, meaning the Isser of Isser Shehiya after Chatzos. First, we're just going to survey and, you know, speak briefly about the Shaka Vitaria. So that's going to go from Dalet Amud Beis till Hey Amud Beis, till some of it we've seen already, till the two dots on top. Kol V'Hutra Havara L'Tzarech Hutra Nami Shalol L'Tzarech. And we're going to break that down a little bit. Again, hopefully we won't be spending, you know, too long on that, but just a couple of marmakomas to look at the beginning. And I'm not sure whether we're going to do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in this context completely or not. I haven't decided that, but we might do that. But before we get to that, just in terms of the pieces of the Gemara and the Rishonim al Atar, regarding Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and all of that, especially Tishitas Rabbi Meir, you want to look at the Yerushalmi, Aleph Dalid, Yerushalmi Pesachim Aleph Dalid, and the Feinayim here on Dalid Amud Beis. But also just look at, I guess, the Maraponim, some of the Mamnosa Kalim on the Yerushalmi, and the language of the Yerushalmi itself. The Meiri, here on page 15, and the Orchas Chaim, Sif Katan, or Os Yud, the 2 days in Rashi on Achilek, that Tosis points out as well. So that's one issue I want to get into. The question of Biur Kodem and La'achar Zman Yisr, which is part of the Bittul discussion that we're in the middle of, or hopefully towards the end of, So that again arises in the next part of the Gemara, the Dalet Amud Beis. So in addition to that, just Rashi and Tosfos Al Atar, but also Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, the Mordechai, what is it, Tav Kuf Lamed Gimel, and we have already made reference to Tosfos, but look at it again, on Chav Tes Amud Beis, at the end of Dibra Maskel Rav Ashi, Mikan Bochi Achri, again we talked about already, his view that you could do, the Bior, after Zmani Suro, and that Kolachozer Achav Levaro, that's not a problem. Like, how do you, the catch 22. If you can't begin before Zmani Sur, and then once it's Zmani Sur, you're over. So, what gives? Okay, so that issue. But also the Netziv here in the Merome Sadeh, on Dalet Amud Beis on that issue. Regarding the Hekesh between Tashbisu, Chametz, and Matzah, of course, there's much more evidence to talk about. We've touched on it a little bit previously. A little bit as part of our Hagdama, and I mentioned then that we need to do a much bigger job in terms of that relationship. Chametz and Matzah in particular is complicated. But Tashbisu, Bal Yiroa, Isur Chametz, Bachila, Bahana, and Matzah is even more complicated than that. But Al-Atar, just look at, in addition to the Shakal Tari, the Gemara, Tos Rabbeinu Peretz, Rabbeinu David, and again the Fei Nayim. Fei Nayim, of course, is the back of the Gemara, but he's the one who specializes in parallel Yerushalmis. So that's a good thing to look at. On the Limud from Korban Pesach, I'm not sure whether we're going to spend a little more time on this, but obviously we alluded to this, and it's the same issue, but it should be fleshed out a little more, as our extensive discussion of Isur Malacha after Chatzos on Yadalid. It's certainly connected to all of that. I mentioned then that we have it here, meaning the fact that Korban Pesach, Psukim, are cited as a makor for the Isur Shehiya of Chametz. That comes from Rava in the Gemara here on Hey Amud Aleph. So that's becomes very important to figure that out. Is that just like a Gili Milsa B'Alma? Or does that, not a coincidence? It's not just a Gili Milsa, it's part of the Mechayim. And is it because of Korban Pesach per se, if it's more than a Gili Milsa? Or, again, I'm giving away the secret. Or does it have to do with the Zman of Korban Pesach? Not before Korban Pesach, but, the fact that this is the Zman of Akrava's Korban Pesach in the same exact way that we were talking about it in terms of, Yisur Malacha, and that it's a kind of a quasi-Yom Tov already. It's not a coincidence when we say that, Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisus Or Mibateichem, the idea that, what sounds like in Pshuto Shel Mikra, a pasuk that refers to Yom Rishon of the Chag, ends up being Erev the Chag, but at the same time, that Erev HaChag, according to evidence, is itself a quasi-Chag. So these two phenomena, you might say, redefine each other or answer each other. So that's really kind of what I want to get, or I want to examine, whether the Isur Shehiyah's connection to Shechitas Korban Pesach is or is not another example of that. And in order to do that, I want to look at the Rishonim, what they say about this limud. So that's Rashi Tosis, Tosis Rashi Mishans, Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz, Tosfos and Pesachim on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskel Neima. Yerushalmi Pesachim Perek Yud Aleph. And I might add a couple of other. Yufei Naim, I think I mentioned Dalet Amud Beis, same one. And we might add, I might speak very quickly, I haven't decided yet whether it will take us too far afield, about the din itself, the Isur itself of Shechitas of Korban Pesach. Maybe I will just very quickly. Shechitas Korban Pesach ala chametz. What are the, some of the particulars of that? Because obviously, That is, you know, is that a Chametz din? Is that a Korban Pesach din? Or what's going to be my preferred suggestion? Again, I'm not holding back, which is that, you know, those two ideas, namely the Chametz din and the Korban Pesach din, are not really, you know, mutually exclusive ideas according to this broader approach. So maybe we'll spend, I'll give you some armakomos on that very quickly as well. And then after that, we're going to speak briefly, you know, about Havar Lalab Yatzas, as opposed to Lachalik Yatzas, what that means, and a little bit about Mitoch generally. I don't want to get too bogged down with Mitoch, because it's mostly a Masechet Beitza topic, but it's very important here. And in particular, the question of whether or not burning chametz l'shem tashbisu, or to neutralize bayirah, is that a mitoch? Is that a l'shem, you know, is that a tzorech or a tzorech ktsas on a moed? Which is a fascinating question, an issue that really troubled the Balei Tosfos and other Rishonim, because it seems like not, and why wouldn't it be? And I think that that's a very important indicator about the nature of, or the character, to be better, to be more precise, of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Okay? So these are all on our, I wouldn't say bucket list, because that sounds, but that has a connotation of, you know, like an aspirational thing that we're not going to come. This is all part of our agenda for the next topic. And I'll give you more marmakomos on parts of them. The Korban Pesach part, the Havara, the Lav, and the Bitoch part, and whatever else. And then we'll move on from there to the next topics, which are the relationship between Bayura and Bayimatze. Something we hinted at last year in Chulin, actually, but we talked about Tamura. What's this idea of a double Lav and Bayatmin? And then more about the relationship between Bayura and Tashbisu, etc. Okay, so that's just a commercial. You know, it's not meant to be commercial, but you know, was it coming attractions? Is that the right phrase? Avram's saying yes. Okay, so that's coming attractions. The goal isn't so much to pique your curiosity, although if that happened, that would be a good thing, but more to kind of direct, you know, what it is that we, A, to know what's coming up, and B, to like be thinking about these issues. You can see all these issues that I'm talking about are interconnected. They're all interrelated to each other. They're all ways of filling in a very important way, you know, the picture of the nature of Yitzchak Chametz. Okay, so that's the plan. Those are some marmakomos. We will build on those marmakomos going forward. For now, let's try to finish up that topic that we spent quite a bit of time on, but I think, you know, that shiur was a long shiur, as I recall, right? It was a long one, yeah. But as I recall, it was also split between a couple of topics. That's why we didn't. Okay, but so we don't need to prosecute all over again, although we'll have to overlap a little. So let me just get us back to where we were, and then we will move forward. I'll have somebody read the Ramban. And the reading of the Ramban will take a few minutes because it's not a short Ramban, but it is important. And it's important to be able to read a Rishon, as we know, you know, and to really, you know, figure out everything that he's saying, and you know, to keep it all in mind. Okay, so the Gemara says here on Daled Amud Beis, that's the background. David, you want to... you have the microphone? Ah, we're in the microphone world. Ooh, a sanitized microphone. Okay, thank you, Avram. So let's just read the Gemara again, just very quickly, so we have the background. Just those, you know, those final lines on Daled Amud Beis. Right, now the same alol and nidra, again, that we discussed already. The Gemara says that what? The bedikas chametz is something which... everybody can hear in the back still? We're good? Okay, if not, please tell me. Bedikas chametz is something which in which there is nemanos. And even though there might not have been, and the reason is because bedikas chametz is only drabanan, right? Kim bedikas chametz drabanan who? David, go ahead. David, got it? Wait, so what are you reading? I'm not sure if you're reading the same thing. Ma'av the same alone than Rabbanan. Kamash Malan. After, I think you went further. Okay, that's it. The maskir, that I think we did sufficiently. So we're really up to the next two dots, and when we continue in the next day or so, hopefully next couple of shiurim, we're going to start with Tanan Hasan, that'll be our new Gemara. But for what we ended off with, we were discussing this idea of Nidaraisa, Bebitol, Bialma, Sogile, and that's what I want to just finish up for now. Okay, so David, just in a couple of words, so we have this interesting machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. Are you on top of that? Somewhat? Okay, great. So Rashi's view is, what is Bitul? So this is where the Rishonim, right, the Rishonim in three places pretty much discuss this question, or aspects of this question. Namely, what is the relationship between Bedika, Biur, and Bitul? Correct? Some of the Rishonim discuss it right on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah speaks about Bedika. And you have a whole Rashi Tosis discussion, whether Bedika is ever dry, the Rais and Rabbana. Then you have this Gemara here, which is the main Gemara, where the Gemara says the Bedikah is Rabbanan Midaraisa Bebitol Bialma Sagilei. Okay, that's obviously very crucial. And the question is, that means Bedikah is never Drabanan, never Daraisa, or it's only Drabanan, you know, when Bitol, you know, is Daraisa, or what the Gemara means is it's always Drabanan because you can't have a coexistence. You can't have Bitol Daraisa and Bedikah Daraisa. They're just conceptually incompatible, you know, notions. That's another explanation. Yeah, we went through all this. We saw this. But either way, this is a critical going. My nafkamina, one of them being, do the rules of Hemnu Rabbanan change, you know, if you don't use Bittul? Right? Or, you know, if you choose to Bittul, so on and so forth. So as we know, there's this major debate about Bedika ever being Doraisa. If Bedika is Doraisa, how does it relate to Biur and to Bitul? Are they equal? Is one, you know, preferred? Do they come from the same pot? Do they share a pasuk, that whole phenomenon? Right, those are things that we've already discussed. And the third place, of course, is the Gemara in the Bavli base. Because there again, the Gemara speaks about, you know, Habodek Tzorech Sheyivatel. And that's the Gemara about Shema Yimatze Gluska Yafa. Correct? So in those three, mostly in other places too, but those three are the primary, right, venues. Those are the locus classicus, you know, venues of discussing, you know, what is Daraisa, what is Darabanan, and what is the relationship between Bedika and Biur and Bit. Okay, so Bikitsur, just to get us back to where we were, what is Rashi's view about Bitol on Daladum Beis? What does Bitol refer to? David, yeah, go ahead. We're going to share the wealth. So you're not going to have to, you know, carry the full burden. But just for a moment, and then, you know, go ahead. What is Rashi's view? Okay, so Bitol, according to Rashi, Tashbisu, according to Rashi, means Bitol. Okay? So according to Rashi, the concept of Bitul is Minato. It's from the Pasuk of Tashbitsu. Go ahead, what else? And what does it mean? There are two questions. Number one, right, what is Tashbisu? What does Bittul included in Tashbisu? Is it the main component or the exclusive component, you know, of Tashbisu? That's one question, one group of questions. The bigger question, of course, is, I'd say bigger, and the equal question is, or again, but a more basic question, what is Bittul? So Rashi's view is that Bittul is Tashbisu, correct, David? And what is Bittul? Hashbasa b'leim. Excellent. So that's what Rashi says. Is that mechudash? Sure. Because who ever heard of, I wouldn't say ever, put it this way. It's always, you know, I wouldn't say maybe mechudash is too strong. It's never obvious, let's say it this way, right, that an intellectual posture, right, has legal significance. An intellectual posture towards something, how you perceive something, changes the status that it has, either objectively, that's a bigger chiddush, right, or even subjectively. Now, if the Torah says, the law says, that there's a certain, you know, problem or whatever it is, relationship, you know, regarding a certain chefza, to say that your attitude towards that chefza, you know, is going to change things, is never obvious. Correct? So if we say that Bittul neutralizes, Bittul is Tashbisu, and therefore it also, that's a mitzvah, and it neutralizes Ba'yirah, and at the same time we say that Bittul is attitudinal, right? It's how you think about it, how you, you know, perceive it, the attitude that you cultivate towards it. And remember, it's even more mechudash because this isn't an objective, you know, attitude that applies based on who you are and what this chafetz is per se, right? It's an isur zman. And even if it isn't al pidin an isur zman, maybe that is part of this question. In the end of the day, you know, you weren't treating your you know, your challah, you know, as afar, you know, last week, and you're not going to do it again next week. So the idea that, you know, you're thinking about it in a certain way, you know, now, you know, and that dictates that you fulfill a mitzvah of Tashmisu, you know, by kind of triggering within yourself, you know, this kind of attitude, and that there's no violation of Bayra Baimatzeh in an Iser Chomor, you know, like Chametz, which we, as we've established, that's Mechudash. That doesn't mean it's you know, untenable. Obviously, Rashi thinks that it's very tenable. But let's just say that Rashi, unlike the Ramban, you know, and in the other version of it, the Ram, we'll say later, doesn't even require, let's say, these, you know, this support, if you will, of some other mechanism to kind of justify, you know, the sufficiency, we'll call it, of this, you know, intellectual kiyumase and neutralization of double lot, by which I mean Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Eliezer, whoever really was, that said. Rashi's not invoking Shnei Dvarim Enim B'Shuso, Shalom Asana Kasim Kilim B'Shuso, you know, to explain, you know, how this Makshava, you know, might work. He's just saying, whatever the nature of Isur Chametz, you know, Isur Shehiyas Chametz is, right, it is, you know, neutralized on the Aseh and the Lav level by the attitude that you cultivate. Now, is that understandable? Sure, especially since it's, you know, this is, but basically it forces you to redefine how you look at Chametz and the Isur to begin with. Right? Would you agree with all that? Okay, thank you. I'm just kind of elaborating on what you said. Right. So that's Rashi. What we don't know in Rashi is, does the word Tashbisu also, where does Bior fit in? Does the word Tashbisu refer exclusively to Bittul? And when Rashi says, ah, the Torah knows how to say Tabaru, it didn't, and therefore, you know, is that what we mean? In which case, the questions that Bali Tosis throw at Rashi, you know, based on the Gemara on Hayyamin Aleph, actually, which is that Rabbi Akiva clearly learned Tashbisu as a reference to Bior B'Sreifa, right, that becomes a problem. Right? And if so, then maybe the best answer is yes, but Rashi indicates in different places that he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He paskins like the Chachamim, Hashbasasa b'kol davar. But to say that, we would need to add that we don't think something which the Ran and the Ramban, even though they're mostly advocates of Rashi, you know, but they disagree on this point, at least in this application, and that is what we're not going to say, that midi Rabbi Yehuda nishma l'rabba. Just because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that the word Tashbisu means bir b'sreifa, so maybe if it paska like the chachadim, that means hashbasasa b'kol davar. The derech is different. Right? But the basic is sowed that we're dealing with bir, that is the same. If you say that, then, you know, then the question from Rabbi Kiba, which is Rabbi Yehuda, you know, is interchangeable with a question about the Chachamim. Correct? So, what you need to say for Rashi is either that he takes a stand on this point, I mean, he is mechalik qualitatively between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, or, like the Ran and the Ramban suggest for Rashi, that he holds that Tashbisu abides two perushim, and that all he meant to say was that if Torah only meant beer, it would have said it in an easier way. The use of Tashbisu is an inclusive form intended to integrate two ideas. And if you say that, which is the Rishonim view in Rashi, doesn't mean it's the only possible way, as I said before, but that is the view, as we'll see in a moment of the Ramban. We saw already in the Ramban. It's also the view of the Ritva and the Maram Chalaba and Rabbeinu David. But then the question becomes twofold. Number one, what is, if you take that view in Rashi, what is Iker and what is Tafel? Meaning, what is the relationship between the two components under this rubric? Because the phenomenon isn't unheard of, but it also isn't common. Namely, that a single word, you know, includes two things. But, you know, there can be different models of that. Again, Lav Shemaklolos, things that we mentioned when we talked about the Ran earlier in the year. There are two types of Lav Shemaklolos, you know. And the two kind of represent the two extreme opposite ideas. One is Lav Shemaklolos, which is, you know, Lav HaKolol Dvarim Shonim. Dvarim Nifradim. You know, Lo Sochal Al Adam, you know, which means very disparate things that, you know, have nothing to do with each other in any way. So is that what we mean? Well, I mean, it's not so extreme here, but so what we mean is there's Bittul and there's Bior, and there are two methods, but they have nothing to do with each other, right? You'd still ask the question, you know, is there a preferred one? Or an Ikar and a Tafel, but that's one possibility. The other possibility is, I say, kind of the other model of Lav Shemaklolos. And that is where you have, you know, Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol, or something like that, or Losa of Dein, according to some. Which means, and then there's this discussion in Rishonim, you know, what about Losasa Komalaka, or Komalaka Savoda Losas, and Tosas in Sanhedrin discusses about, you know, Malachas Yom Tov, because I'm a Malchus. Like, why isn't that a Lav Shemaklolos? Meaning, it would be a Lav Shemaklolos because it's Kolol Dvarim Shonim B'Nifradim, because each of the Malachos is, like, practically a Shem Yisr Nifrad, And then it would be like Lo Sokol Al Adam, or it would be the opposite, meaning that if they're too close, they're just the hechitimsis or different applications of one principle. Like that's how some people understand Lo Sokol. So then what we're saying is, sure, the word Tashbisu, according to Rashi, includes Bittul and Bior, but it's not like never the twain shall meet. Maybe, you know, there's a common, the intellectual renunciation of chametz and the physical, you know, removal and destruction of chametz aren't two completely different mechaydim, two totally different methods of fulfilling the mitzvah and avoiding the yisur. Right? They're just two expressions of one idea, one physical and one, you know, mental or attitudinal or intellectual, whatever you want to call it. In which case, you could still ask the question, are they interchangeable and equal, or is one preferred to the other? Because this is more about attitude, but the physical expression kind of, you know, does it as well, or indicates the attitude, in which case maybe beginning, or no, it's the opposite. You know, doing something like, you know, seeking and destroying is what we really want. So we prefer that. But if you're not going to seek and destroy, then at least, you know, intellectually dismiss, you know, or negate. Okay, so that's in terms of Rashi. The other ha'ara to make for Rashi, and we'll see this in the Ramban in a minute, is that Rashi was attacked by Tosas for another reason, namely Matan. What reason? Can anybody hear?
Because Hashpasa should also refer to Avara, not to Bittul.
No, that we discussed already. That's what we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
And what's the other one? How could it refer to Bittul anyway? This is the big thing.
Tashvisa is learned from Achille.
Correct, and therefore...
you can't do Bittul.
Correct. The timing is off. How could Tashbisu mean Bittul? That would take place at Chatzos. It's already what at Chatzos? Matan. Aser Bahana. And therefore, there's no Bittul at that point. The Gemara itself seems to say that there's no Bittul at that time. Correct? Therefore, says Tosas, Rashi is completely wrong. But Tosas is assuming that what? Matan?
That Rashi holds this way. There could be the Rashi agrees to Tosas in that point.
Well, it probably does hold that the Zman is Chatzos. It is likely that he holds that there's no Bittul Achar Chatzos. So what point does he disagree about?
Just what time are you making mitzvah? Are you making mitzvah after before Chatzos?
Yeah. I mean, this idea that Tosas has, which is that it's a davar pashut, that the mitzvah is la'achar zman yisuro, that's a big assumption. And that, we'll see again, this will just, we're going to speed through the Ramban because of what we're doing now for Rashi a little bit, but it's all implicit questions that have to be answered for Rashi. It seems like Rashi holds in a fundamentally, you know, in a fundamental argument with Tosas, and that is that Tashbisu can be, is, lifnei zman yisuro. Whereas Tosas assumes, as a davar pashut, that it's la'achar zman yisuro. Okay, and we'll see that the Rambam, like Rashi, also thinks, we'll see that, that bittul is intellectual, that bittul is kodem zman, Rambam adds, isra achilaso, not even talking about the shehiya. That, of course, is the Rambam in Perek Beis, halacha, so that's Rashi. David, just to take, we'll let, you know, just for a couple more minutes. So Tosas disagrees. What is Tosas? The thrust of what Tosas says. Number one, right, and we just said, we don't have to repeat it, Bior is, I'm sorry, Tashbisu is Bior. You see that from the Gemara. The assumption is, mid Rabbi Yehuda nishma l'rabbanan, or maybe the assumption is that Tosas is simply l'shitasam, because they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Tosas on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, right, if you look at it very quickly, paskin's like Rabbi Yehuda. And they make reference to it in other places as well. Dibra Maskel, Ibir Chametzal of Israel. Plus it says, Nir the Halacha Krab Yehuda, Stamon Tani Kabase, Paribasra the Tzmur. Okay? So that's Tosis' Psaak. So Tosis is assuming that, what? Either Tosis assumes Mid Rab Yehuda Nishma Lachachamim, or Tosis is speaking from their own perspective, which is a Wipaskin like Rab Yehuda. Okay. If it's Mid Rab Yehuda Nishma Lachachamim, that's particularly interesting for Tosis, since they do Paskin like Rab Yehuda, they have the luxury, let's say, of not necessarily saying that. But for this to be a question on Rashi, a strong question on Rashi, Udi'imei, probably you'd have to assume Mid Rab Yehuda Nishma Lachachamim. So number one, Biur means, Tashbisu means Biur. Number two, as we just said, Tashbisu is Kodem, I'm sorry, is La'achar Zman Isuro, not Kodem, what's the problem with Kodem? Too early. It's not the Zman HaMitzvah. Always an issue. But here, of course, you get to the catch 22. So then, that does not mean that you're kind of already violating, even as you're trying to be a Mekayet? So that's what Tosis says later on, which I want to speak about a little bit more. Namely, that Kol HaChozer Acharav Levayer, right, during the period where he's Osek, what does he mean? It's like Mesasek. He's Anus. Or no, that's the whole point. The point is that when the clock ticks Chatzos, at that point, right, you should be Osek, I'll put it this way, you should be Osek, in Bir Chametz. That's what you're supposed to be doing now. So instead of looking at it, we'll have to see how people take that Tosis. You could say, oh, it's like a Anus or Mesasek, you know, because you can't do two things. If you have a Chiyuv Tashbisu, you know, at the time when you have a Bal Yirah, you know, so, you know, that something's got to give. But a better way to understand it is to say it's not onus and it's not mesasek. Right? There's no isur because you're involved in the mitzvah. Of course, whether which of these two formulations are acceptable, and in general, you know, how we look at the likelihood that this is kodem zmani or la'achar zmani suro, they also have something to do with the relationship between tashbisu and bal yirah. Right? To what extent do we see them as two different dinim? Is there one din of mitzvah tashbisu and another din of bal yirah? Right? Or are they connected? L'mashal, right? Right? Even if bal yirah, let's say, is a siyag l'achila, which it is according to some rishonim, and not according to other rishonim, and similarly debate on the achronim, is that what Tashbisu is? Or Tashbisu is more of a din b'fnei atzma? Second, does Tashbisu certainly begins at Chatzos? Right? Does Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh begin at Chatzos? Erev Pesach? So we're already familiar with Rashi and Abdalid Amin Aleph and with the language of the Rambam in Perek Gimel. Right? Halacha, what is it? Zion or Ches? Ches, right? Where both of which sound like, I mean, Rashi is explicit here on the Baba Kama, that there, it sounds like there is Bal Yirah after Chatzos. Sounds like that in the Rambam too, although some people explain what the Rambam really meant was, you know, in that halacha, that if you don't do what you need to do, then there will be Bal Yirah. You know, if you don't do what you need to do with Chatzos, there'll be Bal Yirah, you know, in its time, namely, starting at night time. Anyway, the Ravid understood the Rambam this way and attacked him. Again, even though the Ravid himself also seems to make that comment in his Perush on the Rif. So this is an interesting issue, an interesting question. I mean, in the Psukim, it's only in the context of Yontif, beginning with Yontif itself, that the Torah speaks about Lo Yirah and Lo Yimatzeh. It's in the Shivat Yama. It's not on Yom Yadav. So that's one question. Right? If indeed there is a relationship, timing-wise and otherwise, between Tashbisu and Balyura, right? So then there's another question, that is, you know, are they, is this, you know, in what direction does this relationship go? Are they two sides of the same coin, you know, a positive and a negative? Is it primarily a din of Balyura, the Isur, but there's a mitzvah to make sure that you prevent the Isur? A similar question anytime you have an Asein Olam. You know, we're dealing basically with two Mechaibim and two aspects. That's really the question. Or are we dealing with one, in which case it's the Lab and the Asay is kind of to make sure, to ensure that it doesn't happen? Or the opposite. Is the Lab just kind of like a more Chomor Onesh, right, to encourage the proper fulfillment of the Asay? Again, Mashal Lamad Avadova, the Asay and the Lab of Shabbos, the Asay and the Lab of Yom Tov, the Asay and the Lab of Yom Kippur. Right? There too we find, you know, a debate, are these two different Mechaibim and their Nafkaminas? Right? Or are they two sides of the same coin? But if it's two sides of the same coin, you know, whether the Lab is a reinforcement of the Kiyum, or the Kiyum is an encouragement, further encouragement, not to get close to the Lab, there is mixed evidence. Also, you might be mechalik between these different cases, or different Rishonim. Certainly not going into that now. I'm just trying to kind of illustrate with the problem. So here too, when we speak about Balyura and Tashbisu, right, it's, you know, that's kind of a little bit has to do with the tension that Tosas is, we'll get back to this, that Tosas is dealing with on Chavtes. Namely, you know, and that certainly must be one of the factors which militated against Rashi, let's say, and the Rambam, you know, concluding that Tashbisu is La'achar Zman Ha'isa. Right? I mean, there could be, you know, a number of reasons. We'll get to them. They may think that it's an, kind of an inherent, you know, Hechsher / Hachana type of Halacha, in which case, by definition, it has to be done in advance. Or they may just think that, well, the Lab starts, or the, but even if it's not Bayura, by the way, let's say it's Isur Shehiya. Assuming it isn't Isur Shehiya, that's Noveya from Tashbisu. That's one of the things that we're going to discuss on Dalet Amud Beis Hayom and Aleph. Like, what is the Makar for the Isur Shehiya at Chatzos? Certainly, if you thought it was Bayura, even more so. But even if it's just Isur Shehiya, if it's independent, you know, then Tashbisu has to be prior, because otherwise you have a separate factor, namely this Isur Shehiya. But for Tosas, it seems like, you know, either we're dealing with an Onus Misasek, something like that, or it's because, on the contrary, the whole idea is Tashbisu and Balyura, in which case the Tashbisu part, you know, is particularly prominent. Okay. So either way, that is Tosas' view. Tosas' view is, you know, based on Biur and based on Lachar Zman Isura. Tosas' Raya here, and also later on, is from Nosar, right, as we discussed. Nosar, of course, is always Lachar Zman Isura, Sreifas Nosar. The Gemara does say in Chav Zayin Amud Beis that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Biur Chametz, the Sreifa, is connected to and related to the pattern after Nosar. Right, the Gemara even says a call Kal V'Chomer. Right, the Gemara there has, you know, Nosar doesn't have Balyura B'Matzeh, and yet it's B'Sreifa, so something with Balyura B'Matzeh certainly should be B'Sreifa. It's also a Gemara which highlights that Balyura is unlikely to be an Isur, or to be a din of Siad D'Raisa, but more to be a din that reflects Chumras Chametz, you know, in its own right. Because otherwise, what is up to a Sreifa? As long as you're getting rid of it. That Gemara actually, you know, reinforces the view, which, you know, which is that Balyura is, you know, about the intrinsic, you know, toxic status of a Chefza Shel Chametz. But anyway, that's a Gemara. So it sounds like, certainly, again, it's a proof for Rabbi Yehuda. doesn't necessarily prove anything for the Chachamim. The question is, does it even prove for Rabbi Yehuda? So as we mentioned last time, I think Natan made the Kara, which I was looking for. Natan, which is, we'll get you in right before the, you know, before you get your vacation. What's the Hara?
A vacation. Chile.
The what?
Talking about...
No, but Nosar. But why maybe Nosar isn't a Rai anyway?
Oh. Oh, because of the Ramban.
Yeah, exactly. Which Ramban? In Avodah Zarah.
The Ramban about Yisra's Nan, when we talked about...
Yeah, the Ramban in Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Adal. So when the Ramban discusses whether or not, you know, a chametz is a terabala or a surabala, and he challenges the equation to Nosar, right, the Ramban says, and again, this is maybe Balei Tosfos Lashitasa, right? Because they do, Balei Tosfos say that chametz is a terabala, and they compare it to Nosar with regard to Hagala. That's Tosfos in Psachim, on Lamed, and Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, and Ayin Vav. But the Ramban, part of the Ramban's rejection of that is that you can't compare this to Nosar. Nosar, you know, the shame Nosar doesn't exist, you know, until it's a terabala. Right? But that's not true about chametz. The shame chametz exists prior to that. So maybe the Balei Tosfos al Shitasa when they say, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ein bir chametz ala b'sreifa is derived from Nosar, and Nosar is lachar zman isuro. So hu adin with regard to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, I'm happy enough just to say that, you know, that's a special din in Rabbi Yehuda for the reason that we discussed last time, and we'll get back to it. You know, Rabbi Chaim like, and Minchas Chinuch like, and probably Yerushalmi like, you know, that Rabbi Yehuda is qualitatively different than the Chacham. And maybe it really is about, you know, seeking and destroying as opposed to precluding, you know, and preventing, that's a good idea, the very presence, you know, to begin with. But even if you don't say that, the chiddush, what you gain from the Ramban, is, and the Ramban's not saying it here, but it works in, the what you gain from the Ramban is the ha'ara that Nosar has to be lachar zman yisro, because it's not Nosar until it's asar. There's no Nosar before it's time. So you can't anticipate Nosar and destroy it before it. It doesn't have a shame Nosar. But at least according to the Ramban, there is a shame chametz kodim zman yisro. And I wanted to link the other Ramban, which is that even before Chatzos, right, there's a shame chametz matzah legabe matzah, which we'll see in the Ramban in a minute, the other Ramban, the local Ramban, right? So there are ways to answer Tosis' question. Quite a few ways. Okay, so so that's the view of Tosis. Tosis then goes on to David to say, you know, in addition to his questions against Rashi, so he proposes that bittel basically is what? Is hefker. Got it? Oh. So what is it basically? Right, so basically bittul is hefker, but it's not, and it basically precludes, or you know, it obviates the whole issue or the confrontation with chametz, correct? Tosfos assumes several things. Number one, that bittul can be hefker, even despite the language differences, we're going to hit the Ramban in a minute, you know, and other discrepancies. He also assumes that hefker is not subject to Bayur Abayim Matzeh. We'll see in the Ramban that that's not such a davar pashut. Right? In other words, that Shalacherim B'Shal Gavoa, you know, is a paradigm that includes Afka. That's not such a davar pashut. We'll see in the Rishonim. Okay, but that's the assumption. And number three is that we could be talking about that Bittul is no key in Tashmisa. And the Gemara says Bittul B'Alma, in a way it's an interesting, you know, phenomenon. You know, because you don't fulfill a mitzvah of Tashmisu, according to Rabbeinu Tam, with Bittul. You just avoid the problem. It's interesting to wonder whether, according to Tosis, there is a preference for Bir Chametz. Probably is. And, you know, the Shitaso that it's Sreipa. If you want the Mitzvah of Tashbisa, that's what you have to do. Okay, basically, Bittul is not a Chametz din at all. You know, the Kesef Mishnah and others, some of the Chachmei Provence discuss, you know, about Bittul. Like the Kesef Mishnah in particular, in his discussion, emphasizes this point. He says, like, why is Bedika, there are Mishnayas, and Biur, there are Mishnayas, but Bittul is never in the Mishnah. It's only in the Gemara. Right? It's an interesting, like, who would think of it that way? But, you know, once he made the comment, it's a curious comment. For the Balei Tosfos, for Rabbeinu Tam, the answer is simple. It's important to remember this. Because Bittul is not a kiyum in Tashbisu. Bittul has nothing to do, basically, with chametz. It happens to work. Just like if you were to sell your chametz, you know, properly. Or you were to eat up all your chametz before Pesach. So, too, if you do a proper Bittul, you know, so it's hefker, so you have, you know, neutralized the problem of Bayur Abayim Matzeh. But there's no, it's not a Pesach halacha at all. It's not a chametz halacha. According to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, what Rabbeinu Tam leaves himself vulnerable to is any implication in the Gemara, right, that Bittul is a kiyum, or that it's preferable or equal to Biur. But that would be difficult for Rabbeinu Tam. But of course, the biggest difficulty in Rabbeinu Tam, as we'll see in Ramban in just a minute, is the question of language, but even more so, of standards. You know, if Bittul means Hefker, and if Hefker's effectiveness is connected to, you know, obviating, you know, the dilemma or the problem of Bayur Abayim Matzeh, right, then the most important thing, the only important thing, at the end of the day, is that it should work. That it should be effective. But if Bittul / Hefker, you know, according to the way that it's done, you know, is falls short in terms of its standards, you know, then it's nothing. So that's where you get the barad. Tosfos themselves are troubled by this in one area, namely what, David? The question of how many people are required for a Hefker, right? You have that? Go ahead, quick. Go ahead. I'm saying, in our printed Tosis, we already have one, the engagement with one problem, namely the problem of Shlosha. That if it's not going to work, then it's not going to help you. Now, you know, the problem is, I'm saying there are two problems. You know, the biggest problem is, you know, if it doesn't work, or if this doesn't fit into the standards of Hefker, if it doesn't work in Hilchas Hefker, either because, you know, as we'll see, the language then it's useless. The more subtle problem is it implied anywhere that Bittul is a din in Tashbisa or a kiyum or something equal to or maybe even better than, let's say, Biur? How could that be? It's basically not a chabotalach. It's the effect. So then you have to measure it that way. Go ahead, it's what it tells us to say. Yeah, the Tosis is forced to conclude the discussion of Rabbeinu Tam, let me say this, ends up being an important discussion, and I alluded to this when I talked about Marm Chalava, Magen, and the Meiri, and some of the Achronim, etc. Rabbeinu Tam's conviction that Bittul means Hefker ends up being an important discussion about Hefker in Kol Torah Kula. Because it tests, what seem to be objective requirements of Hefker in Kol Torah Kula, why are they not strictly, being applied here? Shlosha, he doesn't discuss this, but yeah, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right? What about B'machshava, B'peh, right? What about B'yom Tov? Can there be Hefker B'yom Tov? Etc. So all, and other things. All these issues, are tested, and the Balei Halakha are weighing, have to weigh in on them because of the position that Rabbeinu Tam takes here. Again, that's, yeah.
Is it possible that Tosfos isn't saying that Bittul is Hefker, but Bittul does something that then generates a Hefkerus? Because the language, he says...
It doesn't sound that way, but I think that what you are saying is kind of, it may be consistent with what, a little, not so much the Maram Chalava's part of it, but maybe what the Meiri seems to say at one point. Yeah, go ahead. What do you want to say?
I was just saying, Tosfos doesn't say, did Bittul have the Hefker like all your children quoted? He's
okay.
saying, Tosfos says, Meiachar she Bittul have the Hefker. So is it possible that Bittul does something like maybe there's a very small idea and like something like the Ram?
I just think if you hold that Rabbi Shmuel is, just like Rashi didn't quote Rabbi Shmuel, put it this way. I think, again, this is a great example. Once we're familiar with the Ramban and the Ram, and their invoking of Rabbi Shmuel, so then it's such a powerful idea, that we tend in our minds, to retroject it, to earlier Makaris. But I think it's a really creative idea, and it's an innovative idea, because there's no indication that that's the foundation of Bittul. Number one. Number two, and this I'll repeat something I said when we discussed this initially, in context of Mishnah, and that is Bepashtus, the din of Rabbi Shmuel, is a Chumrah, not a Kula. The Chiddush of invoking it, also to explain, relaxed or lesser standards, is not a small thing. We'll see about Ramban. I think Ramban's even much more ambivalent about it, than the Ram is, frankly. But in a way, to say, really, really objectively, the standards of, let's say, Hefker, don't apply here, they don't work, but since we're coming off of, the whole thing is hanging by a thread, or it's hanging by Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore all we need to do is kind of neutralize the Rabbi Shmuel part through this. That's a very big Kiddush. It's a Kiddush because it's, Ikar Chasam and Asefer, unless you think intellectually that that's the only thing that makes sense here. But it's also said because it really is going in the opposite direction of the Gemara. The Gemara is quoting Rabbi Shmuel to say, this is a Chumrah. Meaning, Shnei Dvar Meinim B'Shusa Shalada, V'asana Chasam Kila B'Shusa. Right? And the idea that you can then turn around. Now, of course, it also depends on the parable. We'll speak more about this. We've alluded to a little bit already. Like, what are the implications of Rabbi Shmuel? Is Rabbi Shmuel a din only in Chametz, in Bal Yeruah? Does it spill over because of the Bal Yeruah, into any kind of Choshen Mishpat? Like, can I do things with Chametz, which is also B'Hano, that I can't do, with... Basa B'chalav or Shar Niskal or whatever it is, because of the din of Rabbi Shmuel. And even from a Bayura point of view, again, where do you draw the line? Can you be Kona Chametz? That's a little bit what the Ramban is asking. Can you even be Kona Chametz Pesach because of Rabbi Shmuel? Right? So I think what you're saying is a great example of that kind of retrojection. In other words, and I think, is it true? I mean, it may be wrong. I think Ramban is the first person to do this. You know, and then the Ram did it. But as I say, in a slightly different way. I mean, again, no secrets. The Ramban did it, you know, for to explain Rashi Udime. And then the Ram did it to rehabilitate Rabbeinu Taub. That's so interesting. Especially, you know, given the Ramban's attitude towards Rabbeinu Taub. Okay. So to assume that is implicit, sometimes you can. I don't see any evidence of it, not in the language and not in the content. So I think, you know, you have several options open to you. One is to say what you just said, which is what the Ram basically says. And then to wonder the extent to which this kind of remains a hefker in any way. The other is to, you know, to reassess some of the dinim of hefker. In some cases you can do that, like the shlosha, or like, okay, big deal, does this have to conform with Rav Yossi Aglili? So we don't bask like Rav Yossi Aglili. You know, that's a second kind of an approach. Bedibur, you know, things of that sort, etc. The third idea is to say that there are elements of hefker here. You don't need a hefker gomor or a hefker, you know, that, you know, applies in Choshen Mishpat. Maybe there are elements of hefker, you know, that are sufficient for this din, right? Let's say bechlal hefker, there are several components to accomplish what you need to accomplish in certain other contexts. You need hefker gomor, you know, but here you have already, you know, elements of hefker. I'll tell you what I think right now, what I mean right now. Let's say if there's a siluk part of hefker and a haknah kind of hefker, part of hefker, let's say, or even within siluk, if there's a like passive siluk aspect, you know, and a siluk gomor aspect, because you're, you know, omeid lezakos, if you want to change your mind, let's say. So maybe we typically care a lot about that. And maybe in chametz, you know, in Bayurah, you know, less so. That's a third approach. A fourth approach is something like that, and that is to say, well, maybe this context makes, you know, the ability to create full siluk or something that looks like siluk but is really a kind of haknah, you know, because of the circumstances of the application, namely something which is, you know, for the next 7 days, you know, toxic and reviled, and therefore not likely to be subject to your, you know, interest or kinyan, you know, so it affects that. These are very different approaches. Okay? So we're going to try to chart them, you know, in the Rishon. Okay, let's turn our attention to the Ramban. Sorry, it's late already. I really want to read.
Right.
Mostly the Ramban? Yeah.
Sorry, shortly. Just like, it's more clear, I think, in the other versions, definitely of Rabbeinu Taub, that he's saying just straight hefker.
Yeah.
He says it more explicitly, but also, because I was looking back in the Sefer Yashar,
yeah,
which is interesting on the Nosar point. In the Sefer Yashar, Rabbeinu Taub actually says that it's impossible that you could say straight but Kodim Shas Biro, because Ein Zeh Chametz BePesach Das Shas Hefker.
Say we got one more time? You can't say.
He basically says exactly what we're saying for Rabbeinu Taub, which he calls so, that you can't say that you would require Sreifa Kodim Shas
Yisuro
Kodim Chatzos, because Ein Zeh Chametz BePesach Das Shas Hefker.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. I've seen the language of Rabbeinu Taub, I didn't catch that. What's the number again?
It's in Shin Lamentes.
Shin Lamentes. So he's saying Rabbeinu Taub and Sefer Yashar kind of implicitly responds, you know, l'shitaso to the Ramban by saying, just like Nosar, there's no Shein Nosar. Now, you're not learning from Nosar because of its connection to Chametz in Rabbi Yehuda and Chav Zayin and Beis, that in fact we need la'achar zman yisuro. In addition, you're learning from Nosar, Rabbeinu Taub is saying l'shitasi, that I think that they're comparable regarding hetera bala, that there is no shame chametz kodem zman yisuro, and therefore Of course it has to be Lockhart's money, sir. That's great. I would also add that that is part of why, maybe, for Rabbeinu Tam, it's mid Rabbi Yehuda Nishma, you know, L'Rabban. Because the idea that you could be mechalek maybe between them, you know, in terms of what the mechayev of Tashbisu is, you know, is certainly not mochrach at all, but something that is, I think, compelling. But and I think you still could say, you know, that has something to do with the shame, but it's less likely that a more universal question like when does kalos chametz actually start or kick in, that should depend on Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, is far less likely. So if you want to prove, you know, even if Rashi is not a Rabbi Yehuda person, and you want to prove mid Rabbi Yehuda Nishma L'Rabbanan, you know, without kind of, you know, jeopardizing, you know, the qualitative tashbisa different, that is a great, great line. Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, I think he tries to do that there also.
Yeah. Okay, great. In Sefer Yashar. Yeah. Okay, good. So now let's turn our attention to Ramban. I know it's a little late. I guess we'll do most of this Sunday, 10:30. Probably Nathan will not be able to join us. But in a good cause. So let's have Noah. Where's Noah? There he is. You want to just read for us Ramban just a little bit so we can... we may skip around a little, but it's from the beginning. It's a fascinating, again, it's just a great presentation. It's a thorough presentation, critique of Rabbeinu Tam, basically. And one which was hugely impactful. You know, again, we tend to jumble sometimes because we, you know, like, oh, who said what? And then, you know, but it's important to keep things straight to give people their credit and also to appreciate even more fully, you know, what the difference is between the contributions. Go ahead. So let's talk about, let's read some of it in for sure. Go ahead. You have the, do you want the, oh, you have it, okay, great. What's that? Okay, so first of all, the Ramban does what? He weighs in on the issue of Bitul Chametz Yadua. As does the Ran after him. We saw the Ran a long time ago, but hopefully you'll all remember the Ramban was very... The Ran is, you see, Lamafreya, I just didn't want to mix it up then. And again, because the Ramban is not really speaking about Bedika much at all, the Ran's big Kiddush, you know, has to do with Bedika. That's not what bothers the Ramban, what the Ramban is occupied with at all. But the Ramban already knew and took a stand against the Chachmei Provence, who had the view that Bitol, right, the Chametz Yadua, you know, is problematic. And what's the Raya? Elatil Chametz Yadua, right, he adds, V'nira Lefaneinu. What do you think he has? He added that. Sagi Bibitol. Is Nira Lefaneinu implied by the Rayas? Again, well, this is a work in progress. We're just going to hold off on this. We're not going to spend so much time on it, but to see exactly what the Chachmei Provence said and what their Rayas were and what needs to be said about it. Noah? So what's the Raya? Even if it's Nira Lefaneinu, meaning you're staring at this piece of chametz in front of you, right, and you're saying, you're pronouncing Bitol on it. He said, that'll work. Right?
Because of the guessing on the Talmud to this guy.
So Talmud, so I'm saying, is do the proofs sustain the conclusion? Yes and no. What's yes and what's no?
Yes and no.
Not again. Yes?
Yes, maybe Bitol works for Chametz Yadua only to stop all your Matzeh, but no, it's not a given Tashbisu.
Oh, okay. So you're saying something even more Lamdish, which is very good, and that's a big issue. That's what some Achronim say. And again, this, obviously I was hinting at this before, right? When I said, what is the relationship between Tashbis and Bal Yorba Imatzah? Right? In terms of timing, and in terms of, is it possible that you could do something, you know, which neutralizes Bal Yorba Imatzah, right? But is not a kinyan in Tashbisim. So of course that's true for Rabbeinu Tam, but in Rabbeinu Tam that's not really a good example. Because you have neutralized Bal Yorba Imatzah, you have, what I said, I like the word I used before, I think it was precise. You've obviated, you know, the whole situation. You precluded the circumstance, you know. But let's say you're in it, you know, and you're actually doing. So this question, whether or not, you know, bitul b'chametz yadua, you know, is effective or not, as Noam is correctly pointing out, in which the Achronim point out, Pnei Yehoshua, Ganegalecha Mishnah, you know, earlier the Mekor Chaim, we'll document it very quickly. You know, maybe it works for Bal Yorba. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a kinyan in Tashbisim. I meant something. So that's number one. I think you're totally right about that. But here, the Ramban, you're right. Okay, because since he thinks that bitul is a kinyan in Tashbisim, it's certainly not a raya for that. That all those Gemaras prove is that there's no, and that's what those Achronim point out, is that there's no Bal Yorba in that case. I meant it a little bit differently. Meaning, are those cases, right, themselves, you know, mitigating circumstances, you know, that challenge the assumption that any chametz yadua is the same? Because Ramban here says, Ela afilu chametz yadua v'nira lefaneinu nami sagilei b'bitzal. The Nira Lefaneinu means not only do we know that it exists, but we're looking at it. Okay? I don't mean we're looking at it as opposed to it's in the den, you know, when we're making our bittul. That I don't think anybody, no one's going to make that distinction. That's irrelevant. But what do I mean, Noam? In addition to the first Hara, which is excellent, and in keeping with the Achronim that we have to discuss, or we have to, you know, at least document a little more.
It's not that I know about it, but it's hidden. I know where it is.
Exactly. And why should there be? Now, again, we can also understand the Ramban. The Ramban saying, "Listen, if you know, why wouldn't bittul work on a chametz yadua? Maybe because, you know, it's a fraud. You know, like a mice of mochiach, you know, neged machshavto." Like, you know, they have this juicy piece of chametz of fanecha, and you're saying that it's gafer da'ar, then throw it in the river. You know, or something like that. That's one that's like, you know, pivalivo aren't shoved in here. If you don't have any other choice, you know, because you can't get rid of it, that's one way to look at it. I think that it's not a question necessarily of how serious or how sincere he is, but it might be, you know, more of a conceptual idea. Josh? What do you think? What else could be a factor here?
These cases are not nearly the same.
Which cases?
The cases that are not
mentioned. The Raya's? No, that's for sure. They're not nearly the Faneinu because he doesn't have... I mean, we're both saying the same thing. I just want to know what's the significance. He doesn't have an option at the moment of being. Or, put it this way, the counter-pressure is sufficiently, you know, is sufficiently great that we understand why he's not... He's Yoshev Lifnei Rabo. Apparently that's a pretty big deal. Right? So, I'm not trying to... he's Yoshev Lifnei Rabo. Or what's Mem Tes Amud Aleph? He's involved in the minute. It's a mila or korban pesach.
Harrison,
and then he forgot, and then he realized, oh yeah, yeah. And now the question is, he can't get back in time, or he could get back in time, but it'll mean that he has to leave. Meaning, the Ramban is proving you know, that yodua and ein yodua is an irrelevant factor from cases which do demonstrate, you know, that chametz yodua can be neutralized through bittul, or at least the Baal Yeruah part can, right? But that do not prove, you know, that this is necessarily true in all circumstances. Now again, to say onus, oh, what can you do? Here it's onus. Fine, but onus is not, is onus doesn't neutralize Baal Yeruah, nor does it generate tashbisu. So the issue isn't onus, but the issue might be either what I said a moment ago, which is, like, you know, how sincere are you by saying, you know, I consider this afra da'ara when, you know, when it's right in front of you or in the next room, and you could burn it to a crisp if that's really how you feel about it. So that's a more pragmatic, I guess, perspective. But what I prefer to think is more the following, and that is, maybe the din is that you have to maximize your tashbis. And maybe that's a function of what you're capable of doing. So, you know, if you can do a more emphatic tashbisu, maybe tashbisu is a range. Certainly for chametz she'eini yadua, you know, you're still obligated. There it's a chumra in a way. Right, as we discussed in the beginning. Chametz she'eini yadua, according to some Rishonim and some Achronim, might have been either onus or mesasek, or at least lack of internal, you know, basis for Baal Yeruah Bayimatze. Remember our discussion about the Sefer HaMichtam, the two Michtams, the Rambam, right? The Mekor Chaim, Tosis in the beginning of the second parak. Okay, fine. Let's go even beyond that. But the point is that, in, you know, what you might say is, you know, again, let's go back to this question. You know, another form of this question, which is the question we asked for Rashi. Let's say Tashbisu sustains a double meaning or application. Right? Bittul and Bina. Right? So are they two totally different ideas? Or are they one? And if so, which one is shaping the other? Right? And is there a preference given all of that? Right? Is it, you know, primarily babir babitl too? Is it primarily babitl babir too? Is it 50? We even discussed this at the beginning of the year, right? The Ran thinks 50-50. The Ritva, Rabbeinu David, Maram Chalava, they don't. Some of them think bitl better. We'll see that the Ramban actually thinks, we'll see soon, that beer is better in the mix. Which is ironic in this point. So let's assume for a moment that there's a din of tashbisu, which includes, maybe if the yisod of tashbisu is like to emphatically, let's say, you know, to make a statement, in other words, you know, about this transition, you know, of chametz, you know, is my challah, you know, and chametz is now avodah zarah, right? So if it's yadua, and it's really lefaneinu, you know, so it's enough for me to make a speech about it, right? So is the only problem make the speech about it with the question of sincerity, or is the problem that if I'm really, you know, if the issue is I need to negate it, you know, then a greater or more objective or emotional, more emotionally satisfying, whatever it is, negation, right, is it could, maybe it's mocking. So if there's counter pressure, especially if there's a chalos in the counter pressure, you know, I'm visiting the Rebbe, I'm doing a bris milah, I'm in a suit of a tie, you know, of an Aresin. I'm holy chlishko, just pisco. You know, it might be even an internal matter. Okay, still yadua. That's still different than, it's still a question. It's still a right. But here, it's not so much like, you know, not from a pivoli boshavin, and certainly not from a, you know, well you should be doing maximal tashbisim. It's not comparable to nira lefanei. Okay, so I think these are two interesting objections. The fact that the Rabban doesn't make this distinction, or is not disturbed by it, frankly, even though, as we'll soon see, he prefers Bior to Bittel, is a testament, in my opinion, to the fact that he's very sold, very committed to his view of Bittel, which he works hard on, as we'll see. Right? He could have worked hard on it and believed in it and still think that it was, which I think he does, second best, and thought that whenever you have the option alternative, you know, that eliminates it. But he doesn't. Yeah. Right, so again, I think it's very helpful if you think that it's one pasuk and it includes two different things. So again, if it includes as one pasuk, like that's why I gave the example before, there are two types of lav shebeklalos, you know. This isn't lav shebeklalos, this is an essay, but the paragraph. One is, you know, it, the same word, the Torah, you know, for whatever reason, you know, wants to connote different things at the same time. Right? Then I think your question is totally in place. But let's say there's, you know, even if there are two things, but there's a common denominator. So then the question is, well, why would the Torah do that? So maybe the answer is, it's a range. Maybe what the Torah is really saying to you is, you know, make a statement, negate the chametz emphatically. Right? And that has a range. It could be physical. It could be intellectual. Even in the physical part, there might be a range. Again, if you pass something like Rabbi Yehuda, it means straight up. And it's something very specific and very emphatic. If it's a chachamim, that's an interesting question for the chachamim. Is there any additional kiyum if you can do sreifa for the chachamim? It'd be like a parallel to what we're talking about now. Like, you could throw it in the river, but you could burn it. You know what I mean? Not because you have pyro, you know, maniacal tendencies, but like, you could Rabbi Yehuda this. There's some question in the Rambam and others whether Sreifa remains miyuchas, you know, even within Hashpasasa B'chal Davar. So, I think it's something like that. What we're saying is, if Tashbisu includes both, you know, but as a range and a hierarchy, or saying, listen, if it's any Adua, I mean, one way to say it, I mean, the other, the Chachmei Provence who believed in it will say, the Pasuk means both, but it means both for two different mutually exclusive circumstances. If it's Chametz Yadua, it needs Biur. If it's Chametz Sheini Yadua, then you also need Bittel. You still need Bittel, and Bittel works. But if you hold like the Ramban, Udime, probably what the Rambam really held, not the Girsa that Kesa Mishnah quotes, which is that it works on Yadua Ve'ene Yadua, you know, might this still have been, like, or what are you going to do for those Rishonim who make this distinction with these Gemaras? That might be the answer. Okay? I'm already late. So let's just get a little further in, and then, okay, Noam, go ahead. Then he quotes Rashi. That you could skip, because that's just a good quote. I mean, he quotes it correctly. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. We could skip that. Let's just get some of the questions against Rabbeinu Tam, just to document what we already saw. The Kasha, go ahead. I'm just going to go another 5 minutes, and then we'll stop. Yeah, meaning now the Ramban's full, like, this is the Ramban in his full, you know, powers. Like, you know, he's going to barrage, the full barrage of, there are linguistic questions, there are, like, does this compatible, given, you know, whether, you know, Bittel seems, you'll see in a moment, Bittel seems uncontroversial, you know, Hefker seems like it is controversial. Is that, is it compatible in that way? Structurally compatible, linguistically compatible? And then, of course, the biggest question, more in question, legally, substantively, you know, compatible. Go ahead, just quickly. They even use the expression hefker for chametz itself, or in the kabbat supe tein, right? Interesting formulation about bitul rishusa being ukar dato miladur, but that's not for now. Just something to file in the back of your head. Okay, so those are linguistic questions. Go ahead. We owe kasha. Here comes the more parallel structural questions. So you have Rabbi Yossi and Glili. Right now you have the Shlosha issue. These are all the substantive questions. It's just not compatible with the rules of Hefker as we know them in other contexts. Go ahead. Wait. So the question from Shabbos is an interesting question, right? As we'll see, the Meiri is very important on that, right? Is Hefker included in Ein Makdish and Ein Marich? Right? And assuming that the answer is yes, is it? Would you assume that that's the case?
More
what?
More like a kinyan and more like seal.
Exactly. So this also may touch on the fact that the Ramban is perceiving Hefker as a kind of a kinyan. Again, what that means, kinyan to the person who eventually picks it up, kinyan to the reshus of Hefker, whatever that is, hard to know. But it's not so posh that it's makdishin, marichin, you know, and so on. And we'll see that the Meiri, you know, specifically addresses that point. Okay, let's continue. But again, there are already clues that he has a very high standard of Hefker, and he's basically invoking, and this is totally understandable, he's invoking the fullness of Hefker, right, you know, as he's questioning the application Birchatz. So you have linguistic, you have structural, and now you have substantive, all of which point to A, that these are real standards, or at least has to fit into those real standards, clue, right? And that those standards probably imply a kind of hakna type hefker, or full hefker anyway. Okay, ora ni mistapek. Is this a lashon of hefker? Yeah. What does offer up do with it? I mean, he's trying to be very fair. Rabban is using the full range of his knowledge, you know, to try to defend. Go ahead, increases. No, but, meaning, what's this offer thing? Okay, that's already the gonim, or the Ushalmi, or whatever it is, but still, that's part of the Masoret. How does that fit in? Go ahead. Hello, this is also just an interesting line.
Hello, of course, I'm a little bit older.
Yeah.
Hello, yes, you sound like I have very efficient.
What might be the response to that, which actually, ironically, Ramban ends up himself saying, but not for Hefker, right? Ofro Shalada Meina Mufkar. I mean, first of all, it's an interesting question. What does Ofer have to do with Hefker? Maybe.
But we have, like, Pirur, it's not Hefker.
Yeah, but and because of lack of Kpeda, or something like Pirur, but for different meaning, maybe part of Bailus, one of the things you have to look at, is not just objective value, or formal title, or even likely application, let's say, of active ownership, but maybe also the value or how you perceive the value of the object. That's, can you have legal title over something which either objectively or in your perception is valueless? And of course, that's a question in its own right. In other words, is the objective value of something relevant to ownership? And if that's if the answer is yes, that is a relevant factor, then does subjective value, that's a huge leap, also affect that? Okay? That's an important, that's kind of the pushback, I would say. Go ahead. We'll see in the Miri and so on. What's he saying here?
That the Gemara that now needs to do something to tell you about
a header. Dape, yeah. Meaning the assumption of Tosis, which is that Hefker is a solution to Bayra Bayimatze, right? Based on the paradigm of Shalacherim v'Shalgavoa, is challengeable. It's not so clear that Hefker is the equal of Bailus Hekdesh and Bailus Akum. Correct? Go ahead, why not? I mean, here it's very interesting. Number one, why did you need two psukim for God? If the din of Bayra is as long as you are not an owner, right, then you are Patur Bayra Bayimatze. It's the absence of ownership, then what's the difference between Nachrish of Kivshaso or Lo Kivshaso? Right? Unless that's the Xeris HaKasav, which it's spanning to teach you that very halacha. Right? The Ilu Hefkel Osiminayu. Go ahead. Now, read this carefully. The Kivan. On the one hand, it's Leis Leibailin, but it's also, it's in limbo. It's Lav Dachirim. Now, does this mean, is this like a problem based on what I said before? Is this proof that he holds that Hefker really is Siluk? Not necessarily. It could be it's more than, it's a kind of Hakna, huh? You know, but it's still a limbo. In the sense that, you know, whether Hakna means to the person who will ultimately pick it up, but he hasn't yet. Certainly his legal rights are not Lamafreya, right? It's Omeid Lios Kinyan. It's kinyan in that it's a hakna, but it's not a kinyan, if you will. And if it's a reshus hefker, so who says reshus hefker, you know, has the same legal, recognition as reshus akum and reshus gavoa. Okay, but either way, it needs to be tempered by those things. Go ahead. Alpha pish ain't of course it isn't yours fully. That's also an interesting question. For Rabbi Yosef Lili, that's not so clear, right? Go ahead. But Ina B'chal Heter Zeh. Then he adds, or maybe it's part of a, I'm not sure if it's a separate point, or the EU. So is that a like an indication? Meaning the proof that it's not already Bershus Acher, some nameless, you know, or Bershus Hefker, is the fact that EU Matzi Zachi Beinafshe. Or is that also proof that it isn't fully even siluk? Maybe if it would be siluk, I'm not sure. But the factor of iu matzi zachi, right? It's clear. In other words, iu boy zachi nafshe in general could be saying you could dismiss that. You could say, right, like anybody else in the world, the tefker is legamri chutz mishuso. You know, just like my neighbor could be zoka, I could be zoka. So then it turns out I would have been Mafkir Leili, you know, Latzmi. Or maybe Igloi Milsa, what he's saying is, No, it's not that. You know, it's the very fact that you could be mafkir la'atzmo, you know, number one, that might be a problem. Let me say it this way. Being mafkir la'atzmo, you know, would be a problem in Bal Yeruah, or the possibility of it. He's not completely out of the picture. Because we don't see him as a third party, is what I'm trying to say. That's what the Ramban seems to be indicating. You could have said that Motzi Zochi Bebenavshe is a new reality. It's like Reuven and Shimon. So it could be me. So what? Until I do it, it's irrelevant. And even if I do it, it's only Mikan Olah Haba. It sounds like the Ramban thinks that Iyu Motzi Zochi Benafshe is a different chalos. Meaning, it would be, in some level, like retracting or not fully going through with the Hefka. That's significant. But it could be significant on the level of Hakna. It may even be significant simply on the level of Siluk. In other words, I'm a Salik, obviously, and maybe that's Hefka, and that's what Hefka is supposed to be, right? But the fact that Iyu Motzi Zochi Bebenafshe, right, is it didn't have to be this way, is perceived as an incomplete Siluk. Because if I am Zochel Nafshi, and the fact that I could be Zochel Nafshi, that's a shiur, you know, apparently in my original bialis, or in the incompleteness of my Siluk. My Siluk won't be complete in someone until somebody else picks it up. So it's hard to know what the Ramban is saying here. But either way, by saying Iyu Motzi Zochi Bebenafshe, he's either saying something about the Hakna or the Siluk part of Hefker, which gives special yichus to undoing it. Okay? Either way, the bigger point, which is, how do you know from Goy and Gavoa, which are real kinyanim, where Iyu Eino Zochel Nafshe, they're irrevocable, they're kinyanim, they're not Siluk. You know, and maybe even if Siluk could work, maybe this isn't a flawed Siluk at this point. Well, how do you know from there? That's an important. That's a very important. And of course, we'll see that Ramban, in his Perush al HaTorah, we've already made references, but we need to document it more. You know, is very into this issue too. The Ramban, the Shagisari's discussion of Ramban al HaTorah. Like, what about? What about Mafkin and Nifkad, two Jews? Right? Is it, you know, what about that? Or Mocher Velokeach, but to another Jew. Does that have to a Bailim Shel Ptur? These are all important issues. Okay. You see the Ramban is touching on so many things. Go ahead. Then he points out that there's a Yerushalmi. Go ahead. Listen, sorry I'm late. You know, we'll stop here. Can we get to the end of the paragraph, or it's too long? Let's finish this one, last one. Go ahead. Skip a little. I mean, there's a machlokas regarding Bal Yeruah and Hefker and Yerushalmi. And even if you happen to pass in a certain way, it certainly indicates that it's not automatic. Okay, we'll stop here. We don't pick up with Elakach and Yomer, which is the big breakthrough of the Ramban. And talk about that, and then the rest of the Rishonim on Sunday.